Holy Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Good evening. Dear friends in Christ, how was your walk today? Did you get outside and enjoy the relatively warm spring weather? You have a date with a treadmill several times a week? What I'm really talking about, though, is not what we do for our exercise, but a walk which all of us are involved with every day of our lives. You see, as believers in Christ, we're not just on a treadmill going nowhere. We're not aimlessly wandering through the world, hoping that somehow, some way, we're going to find a worthwhile destination. No, the Bible says we're on a pilgrimage. We have a destination. We're heading through this world to our heavenly home. And thankfully, we're not traveling that road alone. For the Lord Jesus goes with us. As we sing in one of our hymns, I walk with Jesus all the way. His guidance never fails me. Within his wounds I find a stay when Satan's power assails me. During this Lenten season, we've been focusing on that walk, our pilgrimage with the Lord. And of course, we aren't the first ones to walk with the Lord. Jesus' disciples followed him for the 3 years of his ministry. They were walking right beside him as he made that journey to the cross. And so our theme this year has been walking with Jesus in the footsteps of Peter. And for much of the season, we've had snow on the ground. So every time I come across that phrase, I think of walking in someone's footsteps, following along behind them in the snow, seeing their steps, putting my boots right in their footsteps. And we are truly walking in the footsteps of Peter. Because I'm sure you can recognize or see your own life mirrored in Peter's. While Jesus strode forward with purposeful steps, one after another, he knew exactly where he was going, never took a misstep. Well, you know Peter. Stumbled, fell along the way, and yet the Lord is always there to pick him up. We can relate. You can probably relate to Peter today, if you think about it. And just as the Lord is there to pick Peter up, reassure him, forgive him, put him back on track, we pray and trust the Lord will do the same for us. During the season, we've been looking at various obstacles which Peter tripped over on his journey, and we do as well. And tonight we come to another one. So we turn to our text in John chapter 18, verse 18. Now the servants and officers who had made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. It's been said that a man is known by the company he keeps. Or, St. Paul puts it more bluntly, and says, bad company corrupts good character. And we see that with Peter. It's all about the company we keep. After Jesus' arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane, the disciples panicked. They fled. But later, Peter and John followed Jesus to the palace or the residence of the high priest. John was known by the high priest. He was allowed in. And John was able to get Peter in as far as the courtyard. And we know what happened. Peter stood around the fire to warm himself along with the servants, some soldiers who were there. And you can just imagine the conversation. It had to have been about Jesus. About this man who claimed to be a king. And yet all he had was this ragtag group of disciples who ran as soon as there was any kind of a threat. There was one man there whose relative, Peter, whose relative's ear Peter had cut off with his sword, so I'm sure that was being spoken about. Meanwhile, Peter was trying to fade into the background. But again, we know what happened. All it took were a few words from a servant girl accusing Peter of being one of Jesus' disciples. And suddenly, Peter, the man who had said that he would never deny his Lord, he would die before he ever disowned Jesus, was cursing and swearing that he had nothing to do with this man who had been arrested. And it was all because of the company he was keeping, wasn't it? It is all about the company we keep. If you're a parent, you can probably still vividly recall, no matter how many years ago it was, when your innocent little one blurted out that new word he had heard on the bus or in school. And we're the same way throughout our lives. We want to fit in. We don't want to stand out. We want to be accepted. All of us have had our Peter moments. Probably wasn't around a fire, but it might have been at school when others were telling dirty jokes. Maybe it was in the break room at work when God's name was being misused. Perhaps it was in a social setting where the talk turned to cheating on one's spouse or gossiping about others. We'd like to believe that we're immune to the people around us. We'd like to believe that we're strong. How many times you've echoed Peter? Never, Lord, these other people, my family, my fellow Christians in the congregation, they would deny you, they would cave, but not me. But we do. It is all about the company we keep. And think about the company we do keep. If you analyzed your typical day, how many hours of that day do you spend with people whose influence you'd say was not the best? Guessing that for many of us would be the majority of the time. And Christian parents need to keep that in mind. You know, in our church body, we're rightfully concerned about our young people. But it starts in the home. And while parents certainly want the best for their children, they want to give them the best education and the wide-ranging experiences so they don't just end up being thrown out into the world like fish out in the ocean for the first time. But still, we as Christian parents need to look at the company that our children are exposed to and what's going to be the prevailing atmosphere or attitude they're going to deal with. This is the time of year for confirmations. And it's always a bittersweet time because while we rejoice at a new class of young people confessing their faith in the Savior, children whom were baptized typically in the congregation, have been brought up through Sunday school, have been faithful in attending, learned the gospel message, are confident of their faith, yet we know what's happened to so many other classes before them. They go off to high school and to college later on, and it has a lot to do with the company they keep. If suddenly, as I've seen happen many times, if suddenly they break off communications and contact with their Christian family, their Christian friends, and suddenly the only company they're keeping is new classmates who are not believers, well, you can fill in the blanks. It's always been that way. You can read about it in Bible history. Abraham's nephew Lot was given the choice of the land. And Lot chose the well-watered area around Sodom because that was where he could make the most money. That's where life would be the most comfortable. That's where the people were. And yet, what a poor choice it was. Lot and his family suffered for it for generations to come. You can trace it down for many generations in Scripture. Solomon, the wisest man the world has ever seen, God-given wisdom. And yet, his unbelieving wives turned his heart away from the Lord. And for a time, Solomon was an unbeliever. It is about the company you keep. Paul says, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them." James writes, "Friendship with the world is hatred toward God." We can't have it both ways. We can't be friends of the world and friends of God at the same time. If someone you knew, a friend, suddenly wanted nothing to do with you, denied you, disowned you, repudiated you in every way possible, how would you respond? Would you be inclined to continue that friendship? Would you push yourself or extend yourself in that person's behalf? Would you die for that person? Not likely. But that's what Jesus did for Peter and all the apostles. Peter denied Jesus just as the Lord was undergoing the interrogation which would lead very shortly, within hours, to his crucifixion on the cross. He was the Son of God. He could have simply called a halt to it. But he didn't. He continued on that course, even though it must have hurt him deeply. The Lord continued on, because while Peter and the apostles and we are often faithless, he was faithful. All of God's promises are yes in Christ Jesus. So Jesus took upon himself our guilt. He drank that cup of suffering down to the last drop. Think of the most disgusting, lethal kind of concoction imaginable in a chalice. And Jesus didn't just look at it with disgust. Didn't even just take it close. He drank it. He took it into himself. So he did with our guilt. All the things that bother our consciences were put on Jesus' conscience. All the repercussions of our sins, Jesus endured them, including hell, so that we could be brought into his family. Through Christ, we're reconciled. All of our denials, gone. Atoned for. We're at peace with God. We're his children. Now, what does that have to do with the company we keep? Well, as children of God, we want to keep godly company, don't we? And just as bad company corrupts good character, so godly company helps us on our walk with the Lord. Helps us stay on track. So, when we're looking at situations, when we know there are places, circumstances where we're going to be surrounded by company which is not good for our faith, well, the obvious course of action then is to stay away from it. I know of one individual who recently quit her job because for, several years at least, her boss had made no secret of the fact that she was not a believer and she was going to make this individual's life as miserable as possible because member of our congregation was a believer. And finally came to the point where this person, even though she liked the work and paid well, said it wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth putting her faith at risk or having her faith attacked continually for that. And so she left. However, it's not always possible to do that. And the Lord doesn't say we should simply withdraw and isolate ourselves or to be a salt and a light. So what can we do when the situations are more or less unavoidable? Well, then the key is to fortify ourselves as much as possible with godly company when we can. To reinforce our faith by having others to worship with, pray with, talk with. Our Christian day schools, are wonderful opportunities for that to happen. They aren't perfect, and there's sin in those situations too, but what makes the difference is the company that's there. Because all the students are surrounded by fellow believers, and the teachers are Christians who are going to deal with situations, deal with life on the basis of God's Word. When it comes time to choosing careers or changing jobs, it's not just a matter for the believer of where's the most money, what's going to be the best career move, but you want to ask yourself, well, how's that going to affect the company I keep? How's it going to affect my opportunities to get together with fellow believers? What's going to be like? What's the work environment going to be like that I'll be in? But the one person, the one individual whose company is going to make the most impact is not a teacher, not a boss, not a friend, not a pastor. It's your spouse. So if you're a young person looking ahead to that time when you are going to get married, well, think carefully about the company you're going to keep. Martin Luther once said that God gives husbands and wives to each other to help each other to heaven. And that's absolutely true. No one is going to have a greater impact on your walk with the Lord, either for good or for harm, than your spouse. Because that's the person that you're going to be with for the rest of your life, day in and day out. And think of what a blessing that is to have a fellow believer who's on the same page as you are spiritually, who can be there to reassure, to keep you grounded on God's Word, and you can do the same for the other person. And together then, you can hold each other up, keep your eyes on the Lord. When one person's eyes are distracted somewhere, the other person can bring them back to the Lord Jesus, and you keep on walking with the Lord. And there's one other opportunity, which in my mind is probably one of the most underutilized opportunities for good company among all of us. And that's our Christian fellowship right here in our congregations. Now think about activities that a typical congregation has, mission festivals, potlucks. Well, you had a supper tonight, I heard, too. And I missed it. It's easy in our busy lives to look at those things and say, well, it's the same old thing. It's boring. It's the same old people. But that's not the point. It's the company we keep. It's being surrounded by fellow believers. And whether we think about it or not, they're going to influence us for good. It's the opportunity to share everyday things and just vent and have our fellow believers bring us back to the reality of God's Word, to reassure us that God is still in control and that He's going to work things out and kind of reset our way of thinking after being out in the world all day at work or wherever we might have been. It's precious. Let's use it. So how's our walk been today? Well, chances are it's very much like Peter's. You can perhaps think of a time today where you were in the same situation basically that Peter was, and perhaps you ended up doing the same thing. If that was the case, well, do what Peter did. Recognize the sin, confess it to the Lord, look to the cross, be reassured that Christ Jesus has fully paid for that sin as well as all of our sins. And then, thank God for the company we're keeping tonight. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.